You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
January the 14th, 2020, Iran announcing it has arrested those responsible for accidentally shooting down that Ukrainian jetliner. And President Rouhani promises everyone that was involved in that painful and unforgivable mishap, should be punished. That's what they're saying. And they're acknowledging that it was shot down because there was a mistake, someone thinking it was an attack from a U.S. fighter jet or something of that nature. And they're quickly saying it was done at a human error at the low level of human error. In other words, some poor guy sitting somewhere is going to be the one paying the price because the top leadership says, it wasn't me. And by the way, Iran is also assuring international flyers our skies, quote, are safer than any other time for domestic and foreign flights. That's the word officially from Iran and the state news agency. And within the last couple of days, news anchors for the Iranian state media have resigned, walking away and asking for the Iranians to forgive them for lying to them for 3 years. They may be under threat before it's over with, but they're bold enough to say, we're walking away, this regime is wrong, it's been wrong for 3 years, and we've been telling you lies, please forgive us. The New York Times is admitting the one reason the U.S. successfully stared down the Iranian regime last week is that President Trump's new economic sanctions making the cost of war way too high for Iran to bear. Well, today, Nancy Pelosi said, tomorrow we will tell you who we're going to send over as impeachment managers from the House to move forward with the impeachment against President Trump. Now, several White House lawyers now slated to serve as his defense team, and we'll wait to see tomorrow exactly who Nancy Pelosi puts forward as the prosecutors of the House to bring the case. We do know that the White House counsel would take the lead on the president's defense team. And again, it would just be more of an effort to do what they can to damage and make President Trump unelectable. President Trump has said, let's just dismiss it, move on, don't give any more air to it. Senator Cruz is among those saying, no, let's go ahead and have a full trial. Let's get it all out. And if we're going to do that, we're going to get witnesses on both sides, which would include the whistleblower. A former top Treasury Department official pleading guilty yesterday, you might have missed this story, admitting to leaking confidential banking reports associated with members of the Trump campaign. The 41-year-old woman entering her guilty pleading, saying, I'm sorry for what I had done. I apologize to you, Your Honor, in the court. Her purpose was to leak information that would be damning to Donald Trump and his campaign. A member of the Treasury Department. How deep does that swamp go? Oh, by the way, a key witness in former special counsel Mueller's Russian investigation facing at least 10 years in prison. It's a Lebanese-American businessman, 60 years of age. He now admits that he transported a 14-year-old boy from the Czech Republic to D.C. to engage in sexual activity. Also admits possessing child porn. And he's still under indictment in D.C., along with seven others, on charges of conspiring to conceal the source of more than $3.5 million in political donations to Hillary Clinton during the 2016 presidential campaign. You think we'll get to the bottom of that story at any point? We reported to you the other day that CNN has decided to settle that $250 million defamation lawsuit filed by the Covington Catholic High School student the one that stood there with his MAGA hat on and was being berated by a Native American Indian, and everybody thought that the kid was being smart-ass and smirking around, and he did nothing wrong. And the networks made it look like he was a bad guy. He's suing and got money already. Mainstream media ignoring it the best they can. They just look away. ABC, CBS, NBC ignoring the story entirely. Now, not then. President Trump and the First Lady appearing at the LSU-Clemson National Championship game last night. Cheered, raging cheers and support for the President and First Lady as they walked onto the field. And chants of USA being heard through the stadium. Is this a great country or what?
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, especially for our children. A national chain of daycare centers that opened a facility in Washington, D.C. But soon, toxic vapors were discovered leaking from the ground. Wellington Environmental responded and put in a vapor seal so the children were no longer in any danger. Now, in another case, a child was playing with a toy in his basement. And like kids will sometimes do, he was putting the toy into his mouth. He got sick enough to be taken to the hospital. And what had happened? Wellington engineers and a chemist found traces of rat poison. So Wellington professionally cleaned up the danger. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played a silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we have laws being made in this country which are going to make this nation more dangerous. And one of the biggest efforts, I should say one of two, is taking away your guns, ignoring the Second Amendment, doing what they can to make sure that you're not going to be able to do anything to protect yourself. Why would they make such an effort? Well, because they think they know best. The Virginia legislature yesterday, Democrat-led Senate Judiciary Committee, sent four gun control bills to the Senate floor, including a limit of one handgun purchase per month. All right, you want to argue, hey, how's that stop anybody? You can still buy a gun, but only one a month. Well, who's to say you can only buy one a month? Other than the state deciding. And what difference does that make, actually, when it comes to stopping what they consider the shootings and crime? It still doesn't do anything if that's what they don't really intend, but what they want you to think they're doing. They want to expand background checks to include private sales. And, for instance, if I had a gun, you wanted to buy it from me, I'd sell it to you, and I don't do any background check. Now, I'm not going to be selling my gun to just anyone. I want to know something about you, but that'll be up to me. But now, under the Virginia rules, if they get passed all the way through, is I'd have to have a full background check on you. And they want the ability for localities to ban guns in public spaces, including government buildings, which they already have. But they want to make it stronger and tougher. And, of course, every time they put up on a doorway, a door frame, on the glass or wooden door leading into a place showing no weapons allowed, they created a free shooting zone, a very unsafe area. And the Virginia legislature, the Senate Judiciary Committee, I should say, passing a red flag law giving law enforcement the ability to seize guns from people determined to be at risk of hurting themselves or others. There is a value to that if it's properly handled and not abused. And the first concern I have is that it will be abused. It will be abused. Now, in pushing for the bill called the Extreme Risk Protection Order, Democrats and gun control advocates say, no, no, we set a high bar for the evidence needed for police to get a search warrant and to take away the gun. We set a high bar. Then one of those groups, Moms Demand Action, member points out, on average, one Virginia resident dies by gun suicide every 14 hours. So they think taking away the gun would stop a suicide if someone wants to kill themselves. One Lynchburg resident talking about taking away these guns, that it violates due process, violates privacy, stood up smacking the table and saying, I oppose this bill. It is straight up gun confiscation. It is unconstitutional. We will not stand for it. There's a Virginia woman who also shared her story of the day that changed her life forever. She said, if I had not been in a gun-free zone when I was raped, I would have had a gun, and that would have prevented me from being raped. Now, this means nothing to those Dems who keep saying, well, we know best. We want to take away your guns. The one thing they did withdraw as they were pushing forward, they had plans to have a confiscation bill if you had an AR-15. Thousands of NRA members showed up opposing all the gun control laws, and in particular on that one. So the Virginia Senate meetings dealing with gun control realized we need to withdraw the AR-15 confiscation bill. They withdrew it and moderated some of the other gun proposals. Even the ones I read to you were moderated. In other words, they wanted to be more extreme, but they backed down. The NRA Virginia State Director said the changes, though good, are not enough. He said, while there are some improvements in some of these bills, overall it's still bad legislation. Putting in more regulations and making it more onerous for the law-abiding citizens of Virginia is not something we stand for. It's a Second Amendment, folks. It's part of the U.S. Constitution. But they want to increase penalties, requirements, rather than enforcing the laws they already have. And they do it, and every time their knee-jerk reaction is as if they were a gunslinger themselves on the streets at high noon. Anytime someone is killed by a gun, they reach for their ammunition to use against you. It's not a gun, it's legislation. So you have this issue in Virginia, and other states looking at it as well and increasing and doing the best they can. And you've got a full group in Congress, Democrats, who want to push for more and more gun control laws. I want you to keep that in mind as we go into 2020 and the November election. Yes, the president is the high-stakes game for us. Not only maintaining the presidency and what comes with it, appointing Supreme Court justices, because Ruth Bader Ginsburg, bless her little heart, probably won't last another 4 years on the bench. She might be well enough to do something, but I cannot see that woman going another 4 years. God willing, she might, and I don't wish for any ill health for her. But more than likely, the next president's going to have another Supreme Court nominee, at least an opportunity to nominate someone. So that's important for us. But also inside, and by the way, federal judgeships as well. It's not just enough to deal with the U.S. Supreme Court. You need to do it with the law across the land. And with that, President Trump has been able to make some changes in the extremely liberal Western Ninth District, where federal district, and getting some of those judges replaced by more conservative, or at least those who would follow the Constitution, rather than reading the tea leaves or what the latest wackos in San Francisco streets are yelling. But the other part is Congress. Those up for election in Congress. House members, of course, maybe a Senate member, depending on where you live. It's important to have folks that will maintain and protect the U.S. Constitution, the Second Amendment. So don't think that it's just a battle for the presidency. It's much more than that. And then you look at what's happening in other blue states. New York State becoming one of the latest. Bail reform. Bail reform, where they have suddenly, under this law that they passed in New York State, courts are now prohibited from setting any monetary bail or keeping defendants in custody before trial in almost every type of misdemeanor case, and a long list of felonies as well. A long list of felonies. That would include criminally negligent homicide. No longer need bail to be posted. Second degree manslaughter. I would consider that a very important crime, but no, you don't have to post bail. Third degree assault. No, you don't have to post bail. Burglary. No bail. Stalking. Drug sales. None. And numerous crimes against children. Sexual crimes, things of that nature. This is what they're doing. And they want you to believe that we're making things better for our nation and we're not going to have people held up in jail because they can't make bail, and these people will turn out to be honest Americans and come back to court when needed? Do you really believe that? Well, let me share the story and let you hear direct from a Nassau County Police Commissioner, New York State, Patrick Ryder. And he says, this New York bail reform law makes it impossible for him and other members of law enforcement to do their job.
I was a cop back in the 80s when the revolving door of the crack was going in and out, and it brings down your morale in policing. Now I'm seeing the same thing. Those we lock up, those are going to jail, are coming out the same day. We had two individuals. They came in on a 90-day visa from Chile. They committed havoc on the North Shore. They did about a dozen burglaries, well over $1 million in assets. We locked them up. We put them in jail. The law went retroactive and released them out of jail. They were told to come and get their ankle bracelets. They did not report. They're probably sitting on a beach in Chile right now, enjoying a latte, watching this show.
And laughing. Yeah, I'll come back to your court. There's no bail allowed for charges related to drunken driving fatalities or unintentional homicides. No bail. And in general, only violent felony charges can result in bail under this new law. That would include murder, forcible rape, illegal weapon possession. They'll make that one. Lower-level felony charges, perjury, statutory rape of a 15- or 16-year-old, exempt from bail under any circumstances. And the judge's hands are tied. The judge has to go with not looking at prior criminal history. They're not allowed to do that, no matter how bad. And in fact, I've got a story in front of me that a Rochester, New York State man who shot a police officer, didn't kill him, had to be released. He only faced a new drug charge and some burglary and robbery charges. No bail if they didn't use a weapon or injuries of any type. And it also points out that some unusual charges, like escape from custody, cannot result in bail on their own. Escaping not considered. Are you kidding me? God. This is your liberal blue state, friend. New York State in this case. California is in the same box. Escaping is not considered a violent offense. Now, if they assault a jail deputy during escape, well, then they might have to face bail. But if they can sneak out, no big deal. The idea of bail, of course, is to make sure you're going to come back. If you're going to sneak out of custody anyway, what makes anybody think you're going to come back if they charge you with it and they say, okay, we're not setting bail, we expect you back in court in 30 days? Fat chance. They still want to insist this is to give poor people the same pretrial freedom that people with money have. All right, that becomes then a matter of how high a bail is set, and that depends upon the crime itself and the past. but New York State has just flat decided to yank it. Under the new law, judges no longer able to set bail for a long list of misdemeanors and nonviolent felonies. I just went through some of them. Stalking, assault without serious injury. That's why the guy that shot the cop was going to be released. Assault, but no serious injury. Burglary, many drug offenses, some kinds of arson, robbery. And they think this is going to make the state of New York safer. New Jersey, California, and Illinois and other states have limited the use of bail. New York, one of the few to abolish bail for many of these crimes. Now, you're thinking, hey, I don't live in New York, thank God. But do you ever go to New York? You ever make a trip to New York? Maybe you take your kids there to see a Broadway play? Do you have friends or relatives that go in there? Or maybe your kid's in a school class that plans a trip to New York for the symphony? Just be aware that walking around them, maybe in their midst, might be someone who was charged with statutory rape of a 15 or 16-year-old, but was released without bail because, well, that's the new law. Now, it's ludicrous. It's ignorance at face value. All right, I want to talk again about how the president and first lady got received last night as they walked into the college football championship with LSU and Clemson. And then the actor that got in big trouble because of what he did. It's all coming up. Please stand by.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So last night I was sitting somewhere watching, I'll be honest, I was sitting in a bar. Okay, sitting in a bar having a glass of Jack. I'll be very upfront with you about it. And I'm watching the LSU-Clemson National Championship game as it begins. And here came the president and first lady walking out. Those inside the bar, many of them, it wasn't really officially a bar, more of a bar-type restaurant, but many of them took notice of it and were kind of glad. I didn't hear anything demeaning against the president or the first lady. But I was really interested in the reaction on the field. Cheers. Cheers. I don't care if they were LSU or Clemson fans. They were cheering the president and first lady on and on and on as they walked onto the field. And then as their images appeared on the big boards in the arena and the attendees went wild, you could hear loud chants of USA, USA through the stadium. I loved it. I loved it. But an actor was also spotted with the president later in one of the boxes. And the noise and the hell raining down on him, we're going to get into more detail and reaction from my guest in the next hour. It'll be James Herson. He's a media psychology expert, New York Times best-selling author, international business attorney, news analyst, cultural commentator, watches all the activities in Hollywood for the conservatives and Democrats and those liberals. And I'm going to get his specific take a little bit later. I could pretty well tell you, but James is always very good at expressing his own view. But the video that surfaced last night showing Vince Vaughn, actor Vince Vaughn, talking, shaking hands with President Trump. And he's a self-described libertarian. He supported Republican candidates in the past. But then you've got several folks uploading this video, one of them saying, who captioned it, "I'm sorry to have to share this video with you, all of it, every part of it. I'm so sorry." Another one saying, "All of you staying calm, All of you saying calm down, Vaughn is shaking the hand of the man who is hell-bent on destroying not just our democracy, but our survival in the world community for his personal benefit. Wake up! Another one saying, shame to see Vince Vaughn so casually sit with a known traitor, terrorist, and rapist with a smile on his face. There's no proof of terror, traitor, rapist, but they do it anyway. And then another one saying, I don't care that he likes Trump. He can like who he wants, but I also cannot like or respect him. Another one said, who cares about Vince Vaughn? He's a mediocre actor in bad movies, pretty much a jerk. It kind of fits. Someone else stating, gasp! A celebrity being civil to the president. Say it ain't so. Then another one. How dare an American take advantage of a chance to shake hands with a sitting president? LOL. Horrifying display. Already burning my Swingers and Wedding Crashers VHSs. One pointing out, trying to understand why people are upset with Vaughn. Libertarian, votes mainly Republican. So he's being harassed because he's an actor. You can't be a libertarian in Hollywood. You have to be a Democrat. Hypocrisy at its best. And therein opens a door to our guest coming up in the next segment. If you've not heard James Herson on this program before, you do not want to go away. James has a very insightful look on the elite in Hollywood. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
The IRS is clearly our most powerful government agency. If the IRS decides you've done something wrong, you're suddenly facing serious issues. I know that can be traumatic, and I found out trying to deal with the IRS on my own was a big mistake. So I called the Lance Drury Law Firm. The American Society of Tax Problem Solvers rates Lance Drury at the top. That's because Lance Drury has decades of experience. He knows how to deal with the volumes of regulations and red tape. Lance Drury quickly laid out a plan for me that would satisfy the IRS and save me money. And don't go into the IRS lion's den without Lance Drury by your side. Say you heard about Lance Drury on Larry Connors USA and get a free consultation. Lance Drury Law Firm, 314-238-7360, 314-238-7360. Call the Lance Drury Law Firm and sleep better at night.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
And as I told you going into that last break, my guest is James Herson. He's with us, media psychology expert, New York Times bestselling author, international business attorney, and always keeping us posted on the crazy annex in Hollywood, including the leftists who continue to push their narrative. James, welcome aboard again, sir.
Great to be with you, Larry. How are you?
I'm great. And I was telling my audience earlier, setting you up a little bit in the sense that I was watching last night at the LSU-Clemson National Championship when the president and Melania showed up. What was your reaction to the crowd and the immediate response?
I think it, you know, I was really glad it happened. And what it reflects is something the media wants to hide from or wants to hide from the eyes of people who watch entertainment shows and news media, and that is that the core base of people that supported President Trump and voted for him, an additional large group of people, are very grateful. Are grateful that he's not a politician. Are grateful that he is not someone who is unwilling to take risks because he's worried about his political neck, that he's willing to be accountable. And so because of that, that was a spontaneous expression of really of love for the leader of the free world. And what's amazing in the aftermath of that, and by the way, two incredible football program.
Yes, yeah.
And so resulting in a game, a display of great athletic prowess, and LSU maybe, I mean, it's got to be one of the best college football.
They were my pick last night. Yeah.
But President Trump and Melania are showing up at a championship game like that is really appropriate.
Let me ask you before we go to the next level. I think I know where you're headed, but contrast that last night with his reaction he got when he went to attend the World Series in D.C. And again, many liberals are saying, "Yeah, well, that look at that stadium down in New Orleans. They're all a bunch of hicks and Southern grit eaters. They don't know anything."
Well, obviously, that would be the take of the media. When you're talking about D.C., there was a significant amount of loudmouth people that basically live off the government. And there were a lot of cheers. They just kind of got drowned out in that particular moment. But, you know, when we talk about Washington, D.C., we talk about New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco. We just talk about the urban areas of the United States. We're talking about what has happened is it's a different America. And these are places ruled by left-of-center non-principle. And in most cases, the most extreme being San Francisco, they've turned what was once a beautiful city and a beautiful lifestyle into essentially a third-world nightmare. Nightmare with medieval diseases, with literally they have maps to tell you where the human excrement is. Can you imagine?
No, I can't. And I don't know why anybody wants to go there.
So when you're in an urban area and you're drawing principally from urban areas, you get a different reaction on the issues.
But you also heard them last night shouting USA, USA. So that was good.
And that's still the majority in this country, even though if you watch CNN and MSNBC, you would think that isn't true. But the vast majority share those sentiments. And I think that's part of the reason that we're seeing the impeachment push and we're seeing the attempt to stop free expression on college campuses. We're seeing the kind of totalitarian policies coming out of the left is because if they allow representative democracy, they're going to lose.
So how about the reaction? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, all I wanted to say is, you know, we call this part of the suppression of free expression the cancel culture.
Right.
And the cancel culture is now their latest attack person is Vince Vaughn.
That's where I was going. Right, that's where I was going.
So Vince Vaughn, who was once an A-lister, who was once on top of the heap in Hollywood, he did Wedding Crashers, which was a big hit for him, teamed up with Owen Wilson. And his career has suffered, and I believe in great part, because he's voiced his political beliefs and they don't fit with Hollywood. He's always been self-described libertarian. But, for example, Vince Vaughn has had the nerve to speak out on the subject of Second Amendment rights. And, you know, if you called a rally to save the whales or you call a rally in Hollywood for the Me Too movement, you get a pretty big crowd. You call a rally to support Second Amendment and maybe a couple of the paid bodyguards will show up, you know.
And the other point being, the left has no problem with all those actors and actresses lining up to shake hands and praise and fawn over Barack and Michelle, but this guy and the First Lady, you can't get near them or you're an enemy of Hollywood.
Absolutely. I mean, it's very obvious that there's all kinds of double standards. That's what you refer to. And it's like John Kerry, the former Secretary of State, recently went on a Sunday show and said, quote, "There wasn't a whiff of scandal in the Obama administration." And these idiots that are supposed to be journalists, they should have confronted him almost with outrage for stating a blatant lie like that. Wasn't a whiff. I mean, it smelled like Eric Swalwell's house. It was a... So, I mean, Vince Vaughn, though, is a guy that suffered for taking against-the-grain positions, and so this is a twofer for them. They can attack Vince Vaughn and President Trump at the same time. And so...
Are we going to see more actors and actresses in Hollywood, quote, come out of the closet and admit that they are more conservative and that they have a view that's opposing the majority in Hollywood, or do they dare?
Well, that's the question. Do they dare? Because that's exactly what the social media army, which is a fake army, of course. You know, for example, the way this one came out with Vince Vaughn in the form of a video on Twitter, and there was this guy, he's a left-wing blogger. His name is Timothy Burke, and he's got a verified Twitter account, as I do, with a little blue check. And he puts on his Twitter account, "I'm very sorry to have to share this video with you, all of it, every part of it," which, of course, means he's not sorry.
No.
And his video is of Vince Vaughn leading over and having a friendly conversation with the leader of the free world. And Melania's sitting there too. She's kind of watching the game, but the point is that is supposed to somehow indict this guy. But when you look at some of the left wing social media people, they want to cancel Vince Vaughn. They want Vince Vaughn's career to be over.
Yeah, some are saying they're burning their VHSs of Wedding Crashers and so forth, and another one saying, shame to see Vaughn so casually sit with a known traitor, terrorist, and rapist.
Known, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, just unbelievable. And the thing is, when it comes to Hollywood, these leftists don't seem to care. There's all kinds of terrible behavior that individuals can indulge in, but if they're the left of center, they don't try to cancel them out. But this cancel culture is the reason that the next Oscars that are coming up are not going to have a host at all for the second year in a row, because they're afraid to announce a host, because like it was done with Kevin Hart, the cancel culture people will dig up dirt on what this person said in the past. So when you think about it, I mean, people who said things that are politically incorrect can no longer host the Oscars.
Well, now looking at Gervais recently on the Golden Globes, you didn't see that maybe opening the door that maybe this time they'll go with that approach and everybody kind of laugh or not so much laugh?
Ricky, they've already announced that Ricky Gervais is not hosting the Golden Globes next year. It will be Amy Poehler and Tina Fey who are going to play, party line. They may have a few jokes, but they're not going to really hit them with truth like Ricky Gervais did. No way would the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences pick someone like Ricky Gervais. They're way too afraid. And look, like Eddie Murphy has recently been attacked for jokes he said in the past.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to drop it there, James, but I do appreciate you spending time with us and your input on Vince Vaughn and the whole noise. And as always, we appreciate your word from Hollywood, keeping us posted.
It's my pleasure.
You bet. We'll do it again. James Herson. Always glad to have him on. He has so much information. Sometimes I have to carry him over, but I don't like to abuse his time over and over again. There's a new book that's coming out they claim will be a blockbuster dealing with the Joe Biden family. I'll explain when we continue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie, and I'm starting to feel you, boy. Come on, let's go. Real slow. Don't you see that your scene is perfect?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'm sure many of you know the name Peter Schweizer. At least you know a book he wrote. using researchers from the Government Accountability Institute, an institution Schweitzer formed with the then executive chairman of Breitbart News, Steve Bannon, titled Clinton Cash, the untold story of how and why foreign governments and businesses helped make Bill and Hillary rich. Now, the whole idea behind the book was that the Clinton family accepted lavish donations, speaking fees from foreign donors at times when the State Department was considering whether to award large contracts to groups and those affiliated, and Hillary Clinton at the time serving as Secretary of State, and, of course, Bill Clinton being a former president of the U.S., and they had the Clinton Foundation they created, and they had all kinds of money coming in for whatever they wanted to do with it, and they would insist, of course, the Clinton donation was to help the world, but it also was lining the pockets of the Clintons. It's very clear it did that. There's no doubt about that. Was it wrong? Was it illegal? Well, the book is written, Clinton Cash, The Untold Story of How and Why Foreign Governments and Businesses Helped Make Bill and Hillary Rich, is just that. And you can take it in the vein of you either accept it or you disagree, or maybe parts of it. It was a 2015 New York Times best-selling book, quoted often, and a lot of things in that book have since been proven. Not everything, but some. Well, there's another bombshell of a book coming out, also by Peter Schweitzer. Publishing giant HarperCollins says it's going to reveal in this book how five members of Joe Biden's family, the Biden Five, siphoned tens of millions of dollars in taxpayer cash and guaranteed loans. Recent scandals, of course, involving Joe and Hunter Biden, Ukraine, Burisma, according to sources close to the publisher, are, quote, just the tip of the iceberg. The title of this book is The Profiles in Corruption, Abuse of Power by America's Progressive Elite. Now, again, it's going to be received, as you would expect, by the left and the right. The left denouncing it immediately and saying it's all fiction. The right, in many cases, holding on, saying, no, there's some truth here, if not entirely true. There's a lot of factual evidence here. We already know some of the stories about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and Burisma. And Joe Biden has been trying to put that behind him as he's trying to advance in the Democrat primary. But he can't quite shake it. And he can't quite shake it because we all come back to the simple question. His son, Hunter Biden, gets a job with a Burisma in Ukraine, an energy company. And Joe Biden is supposedly all about doing green, doing away with fossil fuels, and even telling coal miners and folks of that nature, you need to learn how to get computer skills because we're not going to have fossil fuel use in the future. And yet, his son is on a fossil fuel company and being paid minimum $60,000 a month based on what ability? Nothing specific. Mainly, and even Hunter Biden acknowledging he got appointed to the board and became part of it because of his name. And, of course, we've had the stories about how Joe Biden relished the idea and pointed out to others in different interviews that, hey, they were investigating, the Ukraine prosecutor was investigating Burisma, and I told them, you shut down that investigation or I'll withhold millions and millions of dollars from you and loan guarantees from the U.S., and I had the power to do so. And he said they shut it down and fired the prosecutor, and by God, they did exactly what I told them they better do. So we have all of that. Now, what this book is going to uncover beyond that, well, we'll have to wait and see. The book is under a strict embargo until it's released January the 21st. Sources that are knowledgeable of the content say it's going to upend official Washington, like Clinton Cash and Secret Empires. That's another one he did when he broke the uranium ore and Biden Burisma scandals. That was the other one. Profiles in Corruption apparently also contains chapters with, quote, breaking news on top progressives, including Senator Elizabeth Warren, Senator Bernie Sanders, Senator Amy Klobuchar, Senator Kamala Harris, Sherrod Brown, Eric Garcetti, and Senator Cory Booker, by the way. Now, what all is going to be inside that? Well, as I said, they're keeping it under wraps until it's officially released January 21. They're letting some leak out, That's the way they do it. Get a little publicity built up on it. And Amazon's pre-sale book, Description of Profiles in Corruption, states, Washington insiders operate by a proven credo. When a Peter Schweizer book drops, duck and brace for impact. There might be a lot of ducking and bracing for impact. Will it play a role in the election coming up? Will it play a role in Biden being nominated, or Klobuchar, or Warren, or Sanders? It may, it may not. Will it play a role in the general election when we get to November? Well, the timing is obviously good if it's going to help Trump and if it's going to damage the other side. Whether or not you believe it, I'll leave that to you. I do appreciate you listening. I appreciate you supporting the sponsors that back this program. That's how we stay on the air. Sometimes even if you don't need their services, call and let them know I appreciate you sponsoring Larry Connors USA, because they keep us on air for you. Let your friends, neighbors know we'll be back again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.